Welcome to my first podcast. My name is Amy Coulter. I am a teacher in Northwest Arkansas, and I'm here to shed some light on the educational field, the drama, the humor, and the seriousness that's all intertwined in becoming a teacher and what that looks like for so many here in the world, in the United States, in Northwest Arkansas in particular. So I hope you enjoy it. I want to introduce myself and you know, what I'm doing up here in the Big Four area and just kind of get these things rolling. This is new and I'm excited. I love to collaborate. I love to share and I love to have fun. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this helps. And yeah. Well, hello. Welcome to my first podcast. And I just wanted to introduce myself and, you know, my profession, my experiences, and how I ended up in education so that you guys can know a little bit more about me as we embark on this journey together. So with that being said, let's get things rolling. So yeah, hey, like I have mentioned before, my name is Amy. I am 26 years old, and I continually tell my friends that I'm on the cusp of 30, which I don't know if that's exactly terrifying yet or exciting, but I think it's exciting. I'm excited for it. But I am just finished my first year teaching in Northwest Arkansas. I am a first grade teacher. I graduated from the University of Arkansas with my bachelor's in K-6 education. I eventually plan to pursue my master's. I'm kind of in the process of figuring out what that looks like for myself. I don't want to go into it too soon, but with that, you know, I am 26 and I just finished my first year, and a lot of that's due to the fact that I went to two separate colleges. And you know, your typical first year experience in college, I spent way too long trying to figure out who I was and what I wanted to do. So I changed my major like 500 times and pursued a degree, which I think, you know, I would have loved. It still was an education, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted. And you know, everything I feel like has a purpose. And so I kind of have found that through my pursuits here at the University of Arkansas that I found my purpose, and I'm excited for that. So yeah, I teach first grade. Well, and I just finished my first year. It was awesome. And I really can't, you know, coin a term to what it feels like to accomplish a task and a goal and, you know, something like that. There's not one word to describe it, but if anything, I would say that it was, you know, purposeful. And I'll probably say that word a lot, what it means to have purpose and, how our job creates purpose, not just for ourselves, but for the students that you impact. And it's been wild. I have never cried, laughed, slept, been sick, I don't know, been stressed as much as I have this first year of teaching, but I've also never had as much joy or excitement or passion or laughter. And you know, I've made so many great friends and co-teachers, and just I've had a wonderful experience. And most of that is due to the profession, but truly it comes down to the 20 students that I got to see every single day. And yeah, so let's hear about some of those students. So as you know, teaching really does kind of encompass so many different professions. And I know you're going to be like, well, what do you mean? Well, teachers are actually like low-key some doctor. They got some doctor experience. I've got some safety experience. I may actually have some, you know, I'm really good at fixing some boo-boos and tying some shoes and being like the 7 to 3, like I tap in as a mom and tap out when they walk out the door. Yeah, so it has so many different jobs all in one. You know, you don't just teach them and say goodbye. Like, you're doing so many life tasks with them, and you are teaching them skills that you don't learn about in college. And I have one student that I think about in particular who she taught me tasks and like she taught me things about myself and taught me how to use her skills to help me. And I know some of you might think that this is ridiculous and you're like, well, how are you supposed to be in charge of these students when this is something you struggle with? But I'm like, you know what? You make it work. And my weaknesses are weaknesses and I'm a human being. And so let me tell you about this young student. And today I'm going to call this young student, let me think of a good name. I'm going to call her Emily. Emily is a good name for her. And like I said, these students are 6 and 7 for the span of first grade. And they're young. They, you know, but they're brilliant and they're smart and they're caring and they're devoted and they're hysterical. And my weakness, if anyone who's listening knows me, is I am not the most organized human being. I'm really good at accomplishing tasks. I'm really good at planning things that need to be implemented. I'm really good at, you know, certain skills, but like continually being organized and having like a set place for everything, I'm not great at that. I am really good at organizing chaos. I know, and even in that, even in not being organized, I know where everything's at, except for the things that I lose, but I feel like that's something everyone says. But anywho, this young student named Emily had my back 24/7, not 24/7, however you want to describe the hourly. But basically, it was felt like 24/7. But anytime I needed help with organization in my classroom, this child was the first person to step up. And I'm not kidding when I could say that this child could organize my life by color, shape, how much money I'm spending, where things need to be go to have their where they're going to be used the most. She was on it. And Emily changed my perspective of what it meant to be vulnerable with a child and the impact that that can have on your profession as a whole. And so what I mean by that is that she didn't just teach me what it means to organize my stuff or how to locate my missing items. She taught me what it meant to be a 26-year-old adult in the middle of a room of 6 and 7-year-olds and find the importance of being vulnerable and admitting mistakes and being authentic to a group of students. And I think for so many people, so many adults in this world, like we want to continually be seen as people who are strong, people who are, you know, I don't know, able to handle the world and handle tasks and that we don't really need a lot of help. And I think that that might be one of the greatest mistakes that we're making, especially when it involves the youth and involves teaching them what it means to be a human being. And somewhere in our life, not in our life, but just like in the span of the universe and the world and human beings and humanity itself, we've kind of lost perspective of teaching children that it is okay to be imperfect and that actually that was what we were supposed to be. You know, and this is not me like putting out some religious belief or like, you know, saying that that's like the end all be all, but I truly believe that human beings, whatever you may believe, we are not perfect and we need each other. Like we need people to help us become better. And that it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, 52. There's someone out in this world who is probably half your age or a quarter of your age who can help add to your life in a way that you could not do on your own. And that's kind of what Emily really taught me is that, yeah, I may not be the most organized human being, but guess what? You're super organized. You are 7 and you're going to help me because you have such a big heart. And because of you, we're going to have a better learning environment. And that's just one instance of what it means to be unique and what it means to be needed and how that's cultivated in a classroom. And, so Emily taught me that and I'm forever in gratitude to her and she may never know the magnitude of what that means for me. But that's just like one instance of what it means for children to, understand what it means that as an adult, I can look to this adult and understand that that person is not perfect. And because now that I know that I'm needed, I'm going to be able to be more receptive to whatever that person is trying to teach me or mold within me. And that's powerful, y'all. That is so powerful. And I don't want people to miss that. I don't want people to overlook that because it can change lives and it can change the future if people create and instill that mentality in their profession, whatever it may be. And so now I'm going to introduce another student, and this student's name is Skylar, and I don't know why I'm laughing at the name that that's Skylar. It's just because I know that the student's name is not Skylar, and she does not look like Skylar. But anywho, I just want to talk about what this student taught me, and this is actually a student that I saw a lot of myself in, and kind of got to hopefully help her see that who she was important and needed and wonderful. And so, yeah, so Skylar came into first grade. This kid is so energetic and sweet. Most genuine heart. But like I said, energetic is the word to describe her. And she loved people so much. So she was always talking to students, and she was always wanting to do like spins and cartwheels and, you know, the worm on the floor and just things that like you can't have, but also like there's a time and place for these kind of things. And so we've come from a place of just like understanding that students have energy and they're not meant to sit for 8 hours a day. And it's not my job to say, sit down, be quiet and listen to what I have to say and learn. It's like saying, okay, I see you and I see that energy that you have, and I'm going to take that and we're going to learn how to contain it and then put it in a place when it's needed. And, understanding that, oh my gosh, like I get it. Like I get that you want to move, you want to dance, you want to yell, you want to have fun, but also like we have things to do and things to learn. And so come on, like buckle up with me. And Skylar taught me patience, and not because her energy was bad by any means. It was just because I knew where she was coming from, and I knew that it was never mal intent. Like her energy was never there to like keep me from teaching. If anything, her energy was there because she loved people so well and loved people so much that it was, you couldn't help but like be excited to be there. And that's beautiful in itself. And so she taught me that energy should be cultivated in a way that helps push a student, but also like helps create a wonderful culture in your classroom community. So because of Skylar, our energy was always hyped, and also because of me, like me and her, we're very kindred spirits. And so it was like we were always hyped up, but also we knew that there was a time and place to be serious and a time and a place to be silly. And for a 6 and a 7 year old, I feel like that's a really powerful lesson, is that saying, okay, yeah, like I don't need to sit down and be quiet right now, but I need to know that there are times and places when I need to do that, because that's just, that is our society. And so Skylar helped me understand how to effectively communicate that with children, and also for myself. I have wiggles too, you know? So those are just some examples of the students and the lessons that they've taught me and what I've learned as a human being a teacher this first year. But you know, I could sit here and talk about every single student, and I could talk about what they individually taught me, because it's true, they all taught me something. And but then we'd be here all day listening to all my students, which, you know, hey, I would listen to that over and over again. But outside of just the students, there are also, I think, three sets of community that you could really use to your advantage. One of those is going to be your staff at the school, the people that you're professionally surrounded with. And the second one's going to be the parents of the students that you have in your classroom. And I think that one may go under the radar a lot. And I'm going to talk about that one pretty heavily. But and then, so you have your staff, you have your parents, and then you have your own, like, group of friends, and whoever that may be, like, whatever community that looks like for you. In my case, it's, like, a bunch of friends from college, and those are kind of, like, my people, like, the people I talk to about my concerns, my issues, my fears, my worries, my excitement. But, yeah, it's interesting how all three of those roles really have an active a part in your growth and your success, and also sometimes your failures, which are not always a bad thing. And so I'm going to talk about them kind of collectively and independently, I guess. I'm an oxymoron. So yeah. So like I just mentioned, there are, to me, in my professional opinion, three different roles. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about what it means, the role with staff in your growth, and in my growth in particular as an educator. But man, it can make or break you. it can make or break you. And in my case, it helped make me. And I'm very, very fortunate for the staff and the school that in the school district that I get to work with. And, you know, I'm not here to say that, like, every group of professional communities has their issues. They all do. No one is perfect. I need to say that again. No one is perfect. No school is perfect. No district is perfect. No classroom is perfect. No human is perfect. And so there are always things that we can get better at and always things that we can grow in. And but, you know, for where I've been, I just really feel like as a teacher, I've grown because a lot of the community that I've gotten to be surrounded by, like, my team was awesome. Like, I wish I could just shout them out because they kind of really just accepted me for what I am and who I am and supported me. And, you know, I ended up finding, like, a lot of, like, kindred spirits in the school. And I think you could do that wherever you're at, but it was just really unique to find people on my team that I could vibe with about certain things that extend past education, a lot of times within, you know, education policies and reforms and things that are going on in the world. And just having relationships with these people have made me better as human beings. And administration also, like, they can make or break you. Like, that's just how it is. Like, these roles that you have are going to make or they're going to break you. And I think a lot of times people in the professional world expect people, I guess, you know, people who are above you or who have more experience than you kind of just, like, take you under their wing and guide you. And sometimes that's the case and then sometimes that's not. And so, like, you got to be ready to make something of yourself. And I think I went into this year saying that that's what I was going to do because I want to be more than just a first year teacher. I want to be more than just the fear, you know, because I know that parents have fear when it comes to first year teachers. Like, oh my gosh, like, not another first year teacher. Like, that's kind of terrifying. So it's just, I wanted to be more, and that started with me. And so even though I had all of these wonderful supports in place, I had to take it and I had to make it my own and I had to run with it. And so I'm truly grateful for my community and the laughs that I've gotten to share. And I mean, you could ask anybody, like, you know, we have so many funny memories of me having to dance on stage or me having to constantly wear a bun because I can't get up in the morning. Or it's amazing. Your community is amazing, and it's truly about what you make from it and what you decide to take advantage of from it. And so here is my 3-minute talk about the second role, which is parents and their role, which I believe is so underutilized as a teacher. And I know it looks different through whatever place you live in, what state, what city, whatever you may be in. I know it looks different, but the parents, man, they can rock your world. And I have learned that through this year, is that parents, they're one of your greatest tools, and they could also be your greatest supporters. They can have your back more than any ways that you could even imagine. And so and you can just meet people who you genuinely like. And I think that was kind of something that I got to learn this year, is that, hey, like, yes, I am your child's teacher. I am that professional role in your life, in your child's life. And yes, that is my first and foremost, my greatest goal, is to help be that person for you. But also, like, you're hysterical and you make me laugh. And, like, yes, we can listen to Kendrick Lamar together and, like, talk about funny things in this world. And, like, we can get each other in. I love that. Like, I think that that's something that needs to be happening in education, is that, like, I am not, as a teacher, in a bubble, you know. I am not just, you know, hiding in my house, you know. I'm a human being. I like to listen to rap music. I like to, like, go out and be social. Like, I love to do life things, and so do parents, yes. And I think when you relate yourself back to people who you're working alongside with, you develop relationships that are just out of this world. I mean, I like, for example, this year, at the end of the year, I was like, I wish I could do so much more for my parents. And so the one thing that I could think off the top of my head in the midst of everything is, like, yo, I teach first graders. First graders love Duck Duck Goose and playing sports. I said, bet. Like, I'm going to invite these parents out to play kickball and Duck Duck Goose. And for the parents that showed up, like, I'm not going to speak on your behalf, but I'm just going to say, y'all looked really, really happy running around in a circle from a 7-year-old. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And that is something that those parents will never forget. I will never forget. And my students will never forget. And I just think that that in itself speaks volumes on what parents can be in your life as an educator. And to kind of piggyback on that, you know, obviously I am aware that I am a teacher, and with that comes a stigma and comes high expectations, especially professionally. So it is clear to say that I'm not crazy and I'm not like trying to go do inappropriate things, you know. It's, but also at the same token, like, I feel like there's this pendulum, and it's like, you are either going to be super professional or you're going to be super crazy. And, you know, here's the deal. If you're super professional, sometimes it's hard to relate back to other people, especially the parents. And so then when you swing to the other side of the pendulum, then you have those, you know, you have teachers who make those unfortunate mistakes and they get wild and do things that, you know, are really frowned upon. And so clearly I'm not saying that that's where I need to be or where any teacher needs to be. I just am saying that this pendulum, I feel like, could swing in the middle, and you could say that, like, hey, like, yes, like, I am your child's teacher, but also, like, I can be an advocate for them and relate to you. And I should not be afraid to say that I have human interest. And clearly, like, you're not going to be best friends with these parents, and like, you're not going to be like, that's just a totally different thing. But I'm just saying that I think that there's this gray area maybe of just building relationships that people have been scared of, and you don't want to relate, because then when you relate, you become too close, and when you become too close, maybe it becomes too scary, and you don't know what that looks like. But I just feel like that there is a line that you can draw, and you can say, hey, this is who I am, love me or hate me. You know, I'm just kidding. No, it's like, here I am, here you are. Let's also have this relationship, because when we have this relationship, guess what? We're going to be able to work together even better to kind of like help your child. And I think that that's true. Like, I've made some really awesome parent friends this year, and I know that they're going to be an advocate for me, and they're going to support me in the future. Hopefully if I have some more of their kids, like, you know, that rapport is going to be established. But also they know that I am going to come to bat for their child, regardless of how many years they've been out of my classroom. Like, they know that I'm going to stand up for that child, and that I'm going to continually support that child, regardless of the fact that I'm no longer their teacher. And that is beautiful. And also, like, yes, they know I'm going to listen to Drake, and yes, they know I'm good vibes only. Like, that is my personality. But all, and like, come on, gosh, there's something beautiful in that. And I want more teachers to see that. And it can be managed, and you can still be professional. Like, you can. It is possible, people. It is possible. You know, and so here we are on the last role, I feel like, as an educator or just professionally. Like, this is a role that you need, is that you need you some good friends. You need you some friends in your batter's box, some friends who know you, friends who get what you need and what you don't need, friends who can kind of like take you back away from your profession and say, yo, you're a human being, and we still got a life to live, and not everything you do needs to be wrapped up in your profession. And like, so go find you some good friends, people who are like that for you. And thankfully I have some good friends who are also teachers, and then I have some friends who are not teachers who are also good friends. And so I have people who can look at me and say, yo, Amy, get your head somewhere else and let's do some things that you love or hate. Like, they can fix me, they can correct me, they can point me in the right direction when I'm like off the path. And you need that. You need that as a teacher. You need that as a human being. And so, like, this core group is just kind of like a center for you, and a safe place, a place where you can kind of have your ideas and you can share them without the fear of being, I don't know, like, judged, you know. I take so many of my crazy ideas to these people, and sometimes they don't agree with them, and they're going to share that with me, and like, that's safe. Like, you can be friends with people and not agree on the same things, or like, you can be teacher friends and like not teach the same way, and like, that's beautiful, because not every teacher is going to teach the same way, because not every kid's going to learn the same way. Do you feel me? And so find those people in your life, because that is an important role too, you know. Trust me, every Friday night I'm calling up my friends, because either we're gonna watch some Netflix and eat some pizza, or we're gonna go and do some fun things. Like, it's just, you need that. And so find that, cherish it, use it. Come on. So yeah, so, you know, today I've just kind of talked a little bit about who I am, a little bit about what has made me the teacher that I am and the human being that I am. And yeah, so I know that this podcast is kind of long, and I hope for those of you who have stuck around to listen and hear my thoughts, I hope you've enjoyed it. You know, an education is not everyone's cup of tea, and so my goal is that people can see some humanity in it and can see that this is more than just education. This is kind of life, and I can't wait to share with you some of the funny things that have been going on because of it, and some of the things about myself that have made me the person that I am because of this field. And I hope that you learn. Ultimately, you know, being a human being, it means that we are lifelong learners, and hopefully my perspective can create some understanding of the field and the goals, and, you know, ultimately just me, I guess. And so yeah, I hope you've enjoyed listening, and I am excited to maybe see where this goes. So let me know what you think. You know, I feel like I'm going to end this podcast every time with the same thing I always end in my classroom. And every day we would always leave saying, okay, but yeah, we've got things to do and we have things to learn. So let's go learn some things today.